Luke 17, and we'll continue reading in verse 11. Now it happened, as he, that's Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Well, I haven't drawn a map in a long time, so I thought I'd draw one today, since in the last several chapters, it's just been a lot of teaching by Jesus. We haven't seen a lot of traveling around, but since there is some traveling around in this one, I thought I'd draw a quick map. And there you go, something like that. Now, those who live in Israel are not allowed to answer these questions. This is the Mediterranean Sea. What is this? Little body of water here. Give me the name. Sea of Galilee. Thank you very much. That's the Sea of Galilee right there. What's this body of water down here?
Dead Sea.
The Dead Sea. What is this that's joining them?
Jordan.
The Jordan River. All right. Now, in Jesus' time, what is this area up here called? Galilee. All right. That's Galilee. What is the area down here to the south called? Judea. And what is the area in the middle called?
Samaria.
Samaria. All right. Good, you remember it. I guess we did it so many times. Now, the only reason I do that is because we read of Jesus traveling. As far as I can tell, it means in between Galilee and Samaria. In the Gospel of Luke, as we've been going through it, up until, besides the birth narratives in the beginning, up until chapter 9, you have Jesus in Galilee, where he is healing, preaching, great ministry up in Galilee for quite a while. And then in chapter 9, there was this big switch, where it says he set his face to go to Jerusalem where he would die for our sins. And so since chapter 9, he has been traveling, not in one straight line, because it wouldn't take for so long to get down to Jerusalem, which is in Judea. He is traveling for several months across the Jordan here in this area and around here, even around here. Not that much in Samaria, because when he would go by Samaria, Samaritans didn't really like Jews that much, and since Jesus was Jewish, he wasn't that welcome there. And it's not that just the Samaritans hated the Jews hated the Samaritans, it was a whole big deal. Not that Jesus was a racist, he was not, of course, but Samaritans and Jews did not like themselves, did not like each other that much. Now, do we know why the Samaritans and the Jews did not like them each other that much? We've talked about it a number of times, but let me just give you a quick, really quick history. You can read it if you go to 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. To condense it, the Jews here in the area of Samaria, like 8 centuries earlier, had mixed with a group of other people, and so they were not pure Jews, so to speak, but most importantly, they had joined their religion with other religions, and so it wasn't really pure Judaism anymore. And so the rest of the Jews couldn't stand the Samaritans couldn't stand the Jews. Now this is all important. Why? Because Jesus is traveling somewhere in this area between Galilee and Samaria in our passage today. Let's go through it verse by verse and see what we can learn. Verse 11 says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem." So he's traveling to Jerusalem again, not in a straight line. He's going all over the place. And, oh, by the way, he will reach there in chapter 19. So we're getting close. We're getting close. It'll probably still take a couple of months, but we're getting there. So, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, verse 12. "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." All right, so the entire passage is talking about lepers and leprosy. Now, I don't know about you. I haven't met any lepers. I don't know any lepers today. You may have. But to understand the weight of this passage, we need to understand how serious leprosy was. Leprosy was the most dreaded disease of the ancient world. To try and put it in perspective, what would be the most dreaded disease today? I heard AIDS, I heard cancer, I heard all kinds of stuff. Let's take cancer, because whenever you hear the word cancer, automatically you freak out. Well, that's how it was with leprosy back then. Why? Well, you don't have a cure for it, first of all. And if you get it, of course you fear that you're going to die, since there's no cure. You take a bunch of poison and hope that the cancer dies before you die. And so with leprosy, there was no cure for it. And unlike cancer, where if someone gets it today, at least cancer is not contagious, unlike leprosy, which was extremely contagious. And so unlike cancer, where if I got cancer today, I would let you all know. I could still stand here and preach until as long as I was strong enough to do it. You could come visit me. You could come visit me in the hospital and everything. Let's assume that we lived 2,000 years ago and I got leprosy today. I would have to leave. You would not see me again because it is so contagious. I would have to live outside the city, outside the town. If I got leprosy today, I wouldn't be able to kiss my wife goodbye because I'm not allowed to touch anyone. I would leave, I wouldn't go home again, and you wouldn't hear me preach again. That's it. Gone. It was basically the living death. You just left and waited until your body rotted away and died. That's it. So it was very, very serious. So all these men, they're not living in the village, they must have been living outside of the village, but Jesus meets 10 men who are all lepers. And it must be a mixed group, because we hear about one, at least one of them being a Samaritan. I guess being in the middle between Galilee and Samaria, you had some Jews, some Samaritans. And they're standing afar off. They're not allowed to get close to you because it's too contagious. If you were a leper back then and someone came close to you, you had to put your hand in front of your face and yell out, "Unclean," so they could run away. Now, verse 13, what happens? "And they lifted up their voices." I don't know if they could shout very loud, because often leprosy would destroy your vocal cords also, but they make enough noise. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." How did they know who Jesus was? I don't know. They may have heard stories about him. They may have, maybe someone had just become a leper and had already seen Jesus and had joined them and told them about him. Maybe they had heard of the leper that Jesus had cleansed a while back. We did it in Luke chapter 5, which was probably about a year and a half ago, but we did look at the passage where a man who was full of leprosy came up to Jesus and said to him, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." And Jesus said, "I want to." Which alone is an amazing statement, by the way. I can't get over the power of Jesus to say, "I want to." Boom. No one else can just do what they want to do other than God. And so Jesus touches the man. If you recall back in Luke chapter 5, he touches the man. He wasn't allowed to touch a leper. If you touch the leper, you would become unclean. But Jesus, of course, who is so holy and pure, instead of him becoming unclean like the leper is cleansed from the purity of Christ. It's an amazing story. And so perhaps these men had heard of Jesus cleansing lepers, and they say, "Well, we have no other hope, so let's call out to Jesus for mercy." And they shout out, "Jesus, Master." It's an interesting word in the Greek, epistata. It basically, epistatis is basically someone who stands over you, who has authority and power over you. It's a good title. So they yell out, verse 14. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.'" That's interesting. Last time he healed the leper, that's not what he did at all. Last time he touched them and told them to be cleansed. Now he's not doing that. Why? Why is he doing it differently? I don't know. Jesus healed people in all kinds of different ways. Jesus would heal people by touching them. Jesus would heal people by speaking. He would heal from a distance. He would... One time there was a blind man and Jesus got some dirt and spat in the dirt and made mud and put it on his eyes and he could see. Jesus can do all kinds of miracles in all kinds of ways. And so here he just says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Why? Well, if we know the Old Testament, back in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, God gave a number of instructions to the priests to be able to recognize if someone had leprosy. If you thought you had leprosy, you would go to the priest, he would examine you, and if indeed you did have leprosy, he would basically tell you to leave. But there were some rare occasions where someone with leprosy would get better. Now, a priest couldn't do that. A priest couldn't make you better. The only thing the priest could do was recognize whether you had leprosy or not. But there were some rare occasions where some lepers would get better. And so they would have to go back to the priest, and he would examine them. And if he saw that they were okay, then they would do all kinds of rituals, and they would be joined back into society. And so Jesus here says to them, "Go show yourselves to priests." Now they've still got leprosy, but they're like, okay. I mean, the assumption is, I mean, if I were the leper and Jesus said, "Go to the priest," the assumption is that when I get the priest will tell me that I'm okay. I mean, I doubt that Jesus is telling me to go to the priest so that the priest can say, "Sorry, you still have leprosy." Well, you know, is this just a cruel joke? I don't think so. So they're hoping that they're going to get better. The middle of verse 14 says, "And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." There you go. Simple. I am always amazed at how understated Jesus' miracles are. Okay? Remember when we saw the leper cleansed in Luke chapter 5? And that's an amazing miracle. Well, here it's multiplied by 10. This person who was rotting away and dying away from society all of a sudden is not dying. Not one person, 10 people. Or they're not dying. Their skin has been recreated and they've basically been given their life back. see your children. Jesus gives them their lives back. And if the story ended there, you'd say, wonderful, fantastic. But it doesn't. There's a slight twist to it. Verse 15. And one of them, that's the key word, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. All 10 were healed. Yet only one says, wow, Jesus has healed me. Jesus has saved my life. Jesus has given my life back. You know what? The priest can wait. I'm going to go back and thank him. Only one does that. And, of course, he was a Samaritan. Luke likes pointing out people who are not Jewish, who believed in God. And so Jesus speaks, and he has three questions. They're rhetorical questions, really. There's some kind of sadness, you want to say it? Disappointment, maybe, in his words. This is what Jesus says, verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Yep, 10 were cleansed for sure. Okay. But where are the 9? I don't know. Not here. They're on their way to the priest, like you told them to. Verse 18. Were there not any found who had turned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Which implies that at least some of the others were Jews. Had the Bible, had the temple, had the priests, had the covenants of God, and yet they don't return to thank Jesus, to glorify God through Jesus, just this Samaritan, just one guy. So here's the question. Why did the 9 lepers not thank Jesus? Why would someone not be thankful to God? That's the question. And I prepared something small. I'm going to give you 9 possible reasons why the lepers did not return to thank Jesus. It's not in our text. It's not in our text. So please don't get too upset with me. But these are just 9 possible, probable reasons why the lepers did not return to say thank you to Jesus. And see if this reminds you of anyone or yourselves. We'll see. All right, you ready? Leper number 1 was a person who believed that life was about health and happiness and love and prosperity. That God owed him those things. And the fact that God had given him leprosy to begin with was unfair. And so now that God gives him his health back, it's actually something that God owed him. In fact, God should have apologized for giving him leprosy to begin with. And so, since it's something that I am owed, my health, why should I thank Jesus? Aren't we supposed to be healthy? We're not supposed to be sick, surely. And let me tell you something. Unless you realize that God is holy and that we are sinners who don't deserve anything good from God because we have offended him numerous times, you're not going to be a Christian unless you understand your position before God. All that we have from him is by his mercy and by his grace. Leper number two is weird. As he got cleansed, he said, you know what? I don't think I was ever really sick. Maybe it was just in my mind. You know, you just think negatively and bad things happen. If you just think positively, things will go better for you. And I just kind of thought positive and things got better. So Jesus didn't really heal me. It was just the power of positive thinking. I know people like that. I know people who have been miraculously helped by God and then said, no, it wasn't God. It was just me. I wanted to do it and it happened. And you want to say to them, really? Okay, well, how about making your hair grow faster? Or how about making yourself grow a foot taller or something if you can just make stuff happen? You didn't do it. God did it. Leper number three was similar to the second guy. Leper number three, he believed that he was going to get better anyway. You know, I looked at myself the other day and it wasn't that bad. I was kind of feeling better, so I was going to get better sooner or later. I can convince myself of that. So why do I need to thank Jesus for something that was going to happen anyway? How about leper number four? Leper number four was a guy who had been a leper for a long time. 15, 20 years suffering from leprosy. And amongst the group, there may have been a guy who just joined the group, who had only been a leper for 10 days. And he didn't think it was fair that they should both be healed after he has suffered so much. Why should the other one who has suffered so little be healed at the same time? Why couldn't Jesus heal me when I just became sick? Why did I have to suffer for 15 years? God isn't fair. God isn't fair to leave me to suffer 15 years and this guy only for 10 days. He could at least leave him to suffer for a few more years, so he knows what it's like. So why do I need to thank Jesus? Because he's not really, he's kind of biased. He's kind of, he doesn't take into consideration certain things. He's not judging correctly. And of course we need to be very careful, like Paul says in Romans 9. In Romans 9, Paul talks to the people who think that God isn't fair, and he says, who are you, O man, anthrope, human being, making the emphasis between God and human beings. Who are you, O human being, to tell God that he doesn't know what he's doing? You think the judge of all the earth doesn't know how to judge? You think the pot has the right to tell the potter, hey, I don't think you're doing things right? So be very careful when you say that God is not being fair. You don't want God to be fair with you. Let me tell you something. You don't want to go to God and say, I want justice. That's not a good idea, probably. You should go to him and ask for mercy and grace. Leper number five. Leper number five was just a guy who is never happy with anything anyway, has never said thank you ever in his life. And he's got a million problems, and fine, Jesus solved one of them, so what? And you know what? Actually, Jesus may have actually given me more trouble now, because I had made peace with the fact that I was dying, and now I got to go back into society, got to get a job again, got to deal with people. Oh, just, life is so hard. So, I'm not going to bother thanking Jesus. Leper number six. Leper number six was a guy who simply said, I'll thank him later. I got a lot of stuff to do first. I've lost a lot of time. And I need to go back and catch up on all the stuff that I've missed. And when I'm done with all the stuff that I've got to do, then I'll thank Jesus. I'm not against thanking Jesus. I'll do it when I have time, though. Which is basically the argument that most people use who say, well, I got so much stuff to do. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to study the scriptures. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to, I'm not against those things. Those are good. I just don't have time to do them. I'll put my stuff, I'll prioritize my stuff, and then when I have time, I'll thank Jesus. Think of any more? Leper number seven. Leper number seven was such a nice guy. Leper number seven was the greatest guy in the world. He loved his family so much that the moment Jesus healed him, he was so overjoyed, he ran home and he hugged and kissed his wife and his kids, had a party with his neighbors. And who can fault him for that? Well, Jesus did. Oh, are you saying that Jesus is saying that we shouldn't love our families? No, of course not. The Bible teaches that husbands, love your wives. We are to love our family. He who doesn't take care of his own family is worse than an unbeliever, it says in First Timothy. That's not what Jesus is saying. But how many times, just in the Gospel of Luke, have we read Jesus saying words like, if you love your husband, wife, kids, parents, or even your own self more than me, you can't be my disciple. There's no fear in loving your family. You're supposed to love your family. But realize that you have to love God more. Even your own family is a gift from God. So you need to thank Him first for your family. Almost done. Leper number eight. Leper number eight was an agnostic. He just said, I don't know how this happened. Weird stuff happens. But weren't you healed? Yeah, but I don't know how that happened. Didn't Jesus do that? I don't know. He didn't say anything. He didn't give a word. He didn't touch me. Maybe Jesus healed me. Maybe he didn't. Who knows? Weird stuff happens all the time. So, why do I need to thank Jesus? Finally, leper number nine. Leper number nine didn't thank Jesus because he got what he wanted. He wanted to be healed. He got it and left. And you say, oh, so ungrateful. This is how most people who do believe in the existence of God but don't really care to have a relationship with Him. This is what most people are like. Most people see God like a magic genie. If I have trouble, I go, I get the bottle, and I rub the bottle, and the genie comes out, and I say, I have a problem. I can't solve it. I need you to solve it for me. And if he solves it, put him back in the bottle, put him away, and just keep on living my life. I don't care about actually having a relationship with him. I don't love him. I don't care to know him. I want him because he has power and he can give me stuff. And that's what many people were like. These lepers, they got what they wanted. They got healed and they went home. They didn't care about knowing Jesus, but they were fascinated by the fact that Jesus had power to help them. And so if God is all powerful, I can use that power to my advantage. Got what I wanted. Of course, there is leper number 10, thankfully. The Samaritan who did thank Jesus, who did return, who did fall on his face and gave Jesus thanks. Let's look at verse 19 to close. Jesus speaking, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. We could just close there. I read that and I was like, that's nice. But then I thought about it. There's a problem here. You're like, oh man, just as we were about to close. There's a problem here. Now obviously when he says your faith has made you well, that doesn't mean that somehow faith on its own healed you. Jesus healed him through faith. But the problem is in the phrase, your faith made you well. King James says, made you whole. It doesn't change much. But here is my question. Think about this now. If Jesus is saying to the man, you're healed because of your faith, then how were the other nine healed? Because they were all healed. All 10 were healed. So if we're going to say this guy was healed because he had faith, then we could say, well, fine, the other nine got healed from their unbelief. Because the implication is this guy had faith and the other guys didn't. So what do you do with this? Why does Jesus say your faith has made you well? And thankfully, whenever I see problems like that, they are quickly resolved when you look at it in the Greek. If you look at it in the Greek, it says, Episteisou, your faith, sesokese, which means has saved you. Your faith has saved you. And you're like, why would they write, your faith has made you well, if Jesus said, your faith has saved you? Well, because a number of times in the scriptures, when someone is healed from a physical disease, it will say he was saved in the sense that he was saved from his illness or he was saved from death or something like that. And so the translators here looked at this and said, well, this guy was healed. So they say, oh, I guess saved means healed. But that is not what he is talking about. He's talking about salvation. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense that all of them were healed since they didn't all have faith. So I would translate this as, your faith has saved you. This person, all 10 were healed physically, but only this one was healed spiritually, saved, came to know, and was thankful to God. So to close, if you are saved today, you have a lot to thank God. In fact, even if you're not saved, you have a lot to thank God. When I was younger, and people would say, count your blessings, you'd hear this saying, count your blessings, and I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. Until you stop and think, and do pray about all your blessings. Think about all the ways that God has been good to you. We like complaining a lot. But if you think about all the things that God has done for you, it can go on for a while. So if you are saved, praise the Lord, thank Him, don't be like these 9 lepers. If you're not saved, cry out to the Lord for forgiveness. He is a great Savior who forgives. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray and thank the Lord for all His goodness to us.